You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It's the Diamond District bonus hour on this Monday after the Masters, Monday after the NBA regular season concluded. Final days of the NHL regular season, both hockey and basketball playoffs begin in full on Saturday. There's NBA playoff action with play-in games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but the full seven-game series begin on Saturday, same with hockey. Still to be determined who's playing who and where and all that, when, you know, just give it a little bit of time. 1 to 2 games left in the hockey season, depending on your favorite team. And our poll question deals with the NBA playoffs, and we will ask it later on in the week for the NHL playoffs. What's your level of interest? From all in to not even going to turn it on.
I will say that 48% of our audience says they're either all of it or some of it. 41% of our audience says they're not watching any of the NBA playoffs.
Okay. All right. So that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller_Moulton on X. No Trent to chime in on this poll question today. Travel difficulties. Couldn't make it back in time for the show today. He will be on the show tomorrow, or else that's it. We're done with him. Got to draw the line.
That's so funny from a guy who's sitting on the other end, not having to worry about running the board, getting the podcast up, and doing all the other things that are involved with this show. That is really cute, David.
It sure is. The guy is 350 miles away going, listen, either be here or that's it. I mean, we got a lot of people lining up to get up at 4:30 in the morning to make, you know, $8.71 an hour or whatever it is. I don't even know if it's that much. But anyway, Trent will be back tomorrow.
I'm actually fired up for the play-in games. Maybe because the Heat are playing the Sixers, but I've got some, and you've got the Lakers playing the Pelicans. These play-in games are as exciting as they've been on both sides.
Steph and the Warriors, is this the end? You know, if they lose to Sacramento and or they win but then lose and don't get out of the play-in, you know, can we finally say, okay, enough? Enough. Their run is over. It was only 2 years ago they won the title. But can we say, okay, this is cute. This is a nice 10-year run. It's over. 6 finals, 4 rings. Done. Kaput. So, got that at stake as well. I will say what's interesting, just quickly before we move on. So is it okay if you're the Celtics to get to the finals and to lose to the Nuggets? How would you grade that season? You get to the finals, which, you know, Boston's won a ton of games here in the last 8 years, Mark. You know how many times they've been to the finals? Once. They've gone to the Eastern Conference Finals 4 or 5 times. I'm pretty sure the only time they've gone to the finals was 2 years ago.
Huh. Would getting to the finals, to me, it would be enough, but I don't think it will be to that organization. They have made some changes. They, you know, they added Holiday, they added Porzingis. They think they can win a title.
Right. But I will say they've only played them twice this year. Denver's handled them both times. So, you know, the whole, what do you do with Jokic? I mean, you know, what can anybody do with Jokic? If for as good as you are, Mark, if the other team has the best player on the floor, what do you do?
Question is that who has the next best 2 or 3, if you know what I mean? Like, Boston should be right there.
They should.
When you're ranking the top 8 players, you have the best player for Denver, and then how many of the next 7 are Boston players?
I get you. Totally with you. I mean, do you make the argument you think your next 4 are better than Murray for Denver? I wouldn't go that far. I'd put Murray ahead of Porzingis. You know, but I'm just curious, if you're running that organization, you know, your best record in the league by, you know, hell, you won the East by 14, 15 games. And you've got more wins by like 6 or 8 than anybody out West, don't you? So, I mean, you know, you're clearly best team in the league. You lost in Game 7 of the Eastern Finals last year. You go to the NBA Finals this year. You got home court. Denver beats you because, well, Jokic.
Because they're better.
Can you live with that and not make major changes? Or are you going to freak out? Because if you think about it, the Niners are in that situation right now. The Niners have made, what, 4 of the last 5 NFC championship games? Have made 2 Super Bowls? Had the lead in the fourth quarter of both? I mean, if you're the Niners, is anything outside winning the final game of the year acceptable?
No, by the way, in terms of the San Francisco 49ers. No, it's not. But I don't think Boston's in the same exact situation.
I don't think they'll get bounced early, even though they're likely going to play Philly or Miami in the first round. I don't think they get bounced early. But, boy, if they did, if I'm the head coach, and I know you just got an extension, but, yeah, I don't know if Brad Stevens can bring you back, just especially with Jeff Van Gundy on staff, just saying. We mentioned the Niners a moment ago. First off, former Niner, Buckner, who's a defensive tackle with the Colts now, he got traded a few years ago. He just signed a $23 million 2-year extension as the D tackles are getting paid. I mean, that's the 6th contract this offseason in which a defensive tackle's made $22 million a year or more. But did you see what Deion said over the weekend?
I missed it.
Okay. So Deion last week had said something to the effect of, listen, I don't know if I'm going to let my kid and Travis Hunter, there are certain organizations I'm just not going to let them play for. I'm going to let those organizations know. Don't bother drafting them. Not interested in playing for you. Okay. There are people who have suggested to Caleb Williams that he should have done that with the Bears. That should have said, listen, I've taken a look at your track record. It's no good. I don't want to go there. Pull an Eli. Archie did all the public bemoaning of the Chargers. It all stuck, and did that stick?
Not one bit, by the way.
No.
Not a bit.
No, Eli and Archie pulled an Elway. By the way, did that stick to Elway? I mean, it did with my grandmother. My grandmother held it against John Elway forever. But did that stick on John Elway?
It stuck longer with Elway than it did with Eli.
And Elway was proven right because a year after he did it, the Colts got up and moved from Baltimore and went to Indianapolis. But you're right, Mark. It didn't stick to Eli at all. I mean, the Mannings gave the Chargers the middle finger. Archie Manning publicly said, that organization? Hell no. Not for my kid. And the funny thing was, 2 years later, they're 14-2. So Deion came out and said, okay, my kid, Travis Hunter, 6 teams. That's it. It's all they can play for. I'm not making this up.
Good luck.
Now, didn't Deion played for the Niners, played for the Cowboys, played for the Commanders, didn't he?
Yes.
Late in his career. Played for the Falcons, obviously. That's who drafted him. Didn't he also play for the Ravens?
For the Ravens, right.
Okay. So those 5 teams, they're okay. All the other teams in the league, which one would you pick? Yeah, because 6 teams, and he put those 5 on it.
He put those 5 on it.
Yep,
and one more.
Yep. Remember, his son's a quarterback, and Travis Hunter is a wide receiver / DB.
I have no idea. New England?
No. Philadelphia.
Okay.
I mean, the first thought was he didn't go Kansas City. Now, I could understand with his kid, they're not going to take him because of Mahomes. But anyway, that's it.
But they also, the Kansas City just got those horrible rankings by the players as far as teams to play for.
Right. They're like 31st in the player survey in terms of how they're treated and their facilities and all that. Yeah. So, Deion, six teams, that's it. Niners, Cowboys, Commanders, Ravens, Falcons, and the Eagles.
And the Eagles. Okay, and that's his other team that right now he thinks highly of, apparently, and the way they run their business. I mean, there are a lot more than six teams out there that are running their business properly in the National Football League. And I don't think that's enough to get teams to not draft either Hunter or his kid. Maybe.
So I found this interesting. How are you going to engineer this again? I mean, are you just going to say a year from now, don't bother drafting my kid unless you're boop, 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 and boop because he ain't interested in playing for you? Okay. What are you going to do, sit out a year and enter the 2026 draft? I mean,
what I'm surprised is that some of the teams he played for that he put on the list, that Atlanta's actually on the list. And I'm not joking around. You would think, you know, you really want your kid to go play for the Cowboys? Must be everything around playing for the Cowboys, not playing for Jarrah.
Now, I will say, with the way Jarrah's handling the Dak negotiations, there may be a job open in Dallas next year. Okay. Philadelphia? What, they're going to bail on Jalen Hurts? They're just starting to pay him. You think the Niners are going to bail on Brock Purdy? Just took him to the Super Bowl.
Think Baltimore is ready to bail on Lamar?
Right? I mean, the Commanders are going to draft the kid from LSU this year. Probably. Maybe. Some people think they're going to take Drake May at two. Most people think they're taking Jaden Daniels. So, we'll see. I mean, there's not much that Deion says that he doesn't follow through on.
Just want to see how he follows through on this one.
Right. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today? It was the day when, all 25 minutes away, MillerandMoulton.com.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when, along with some final thoughts, a pick or two coming up in a little more than 15 minutes' time. We've talked a little NBA today, along with the Masters. One more golf thing. Do you think this will be serve as kind of a kick in the you-know-what to the LIV guys? You know, because, you know, people turned on them this week again.
I will say that there's no doubt. It was funny how much people have turned on them because my mom's a casual sports fan. She's not a diehard. But she loves the Masters. And she goes, I like that Cam Smith. And I let her go for a little bit because I know her feelings on LIV Golf. And I went, you know he plays on the LIV Tour. Stopped, looked at me and went, well, I don't like him anymore.
There you go.
It's that simple for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I just to go a little further. And obviously, listen, Miller and Moulton have been open to the idea of LIV in part because, first off, we see golf as a worldwide thing and not just the PGA Tour is all about America. And the PGA Tour has ruined the European Tour, now called the DP World Tour. I mean, they've shredded it in what
shredded
they're forcing.
Shredded it by making players play so many events on the PGA. In order to be a member of the PGA Tour, you have to play. They made it virtually impossible for guys to play both tours. Pick one or the other is what they said. Oh, 20 years ago.
And so And we think that golf worldwide, there are parts of this world that, you know, PGA Tour is not interested in Australia, not interested in Asia and what have you. Well, the golf's actually really popular there. That part of the LIV appeals to us. Number two is we're guys who, you know, don't have contracts. We're independent contractors. We relate to golfers and tennis players about the whole, you know, making your own schedule, doing what you can and what have you. And also, Miller and Moulton have a little, we're not exactly crazy about being told what to do, unless you're going to compensate us really well, which in our case has hardly ever happened.
And hardly ever means never.
Correct.
He was being nice.
Right. Trying to make it sound as if like we've had a decent career when, you know, we know the truth. So, but, you know, the final leaderboard, at least the first page, you know, the LIV golfers were all over the second page. But also, you know, Rahm, what, 9 over. DJ didn't make the cut. Koepka, 9 over. You know, some of their big names, you know, didn't do well. And they're being mocked. I mean, when Wyndham Clark is mocking the LIV guys after, and he shoots, what, a 1 over 73 on Thursday. And he's like, oh, yeah, but, you know, don't take DeChambeau seriously. They only play 54 holes, so it's not like he's going to go the distance. And besides, he shot what yesterday? I may shoot that tomorrow. Oh, okay. So, you know, there were a few of the PGA Tour guys who, you know, felt emboldened at Augusta to let it out. John Rahm gave an interview yesterday in which he said, you know, it was interesting. This is the first event in which I'm at that the PGA guys are at. And he goes, you know, some guys came up and hugged me. And there are some guys who I thought I was friendly with who death stare. I'm dead to them. Oh. And I got to admit, I think he was talking about Tiger. I thought when Rahm, we don't know, he didn't mention names. But I thought when he did that, I thought he was talking about Tiger. I didn't think he was talking about Rory. I thought he was talking about Tiger.
Interesting. And it seems that the LIV guys are the ones now saying we need the merger.
After 3-4 weeks ago, it was the PGA Tour guys.
Right.
Right. So, okay. And now clearly the best golfer in the world. Like when John Rahm made the move to LIV, people were like, that's the best golfer in the world. Now, no. Scottie Scheffler's the best golfer in the world. Period. End of sentence.
And if it would have just been Rahm instead of Morikawa, even falling apart a little bit towards the end, but the top five finish of someone on LIV being there at the end, as opposed to DeChambeau, who Saturday and Sunday couldn't make a putt. I mean, I don't think that was – his putter got cold. But if you look at it, it's like he couldn't – the most important part of the game is what? Putting. You got to get the ball in the hole. And DeChambeau couldn't make a putt to save his life on the weekend.
I actually thought that in terms of ball striking over 4 days – I know they got the tee to green stats, and I know Scheffler won it. But for 4 days, I thought DeChambeau was the second-best ball striker in the tournament. He didn't get anything out of, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, except when he holed a shot from the fairway on 18 on Saturday. But, I mean, he putted horribly.
Horribly.
For those 3 days.
And he's not been a great putter anyhow. Nope. But he putted really well Thursday. Putted okay Friday. Saturday and Sunday, he was a mess on the greens.
But I think it's going to be interesting. You know, if you've made the jump to the LIV, you're in on this thing. And they got slapped around on the leaderboard to some degree, even though I could argue they only had 13 guys in the field. They had 4 of them finish in the top 11. But they got slapped around, and then they got slapped around publicly also. And also, Augusta wouldn't even let Norman in the tournament. He had to buy a ticket on the secondary market to walk the grounds. And I'm wondering between now and the PGA, Mark, if whether or not some of those guys get serious, if you know what I mean.
Well, we won't hear from any of them because none of their tournaments matter. That's the one thing that's been determined. Nobody cares. Nobody mm-hmm. cares on television. Nobody cares in public. And it looks, you know, Rom particularly looks as if he has buyer's remorse. The rest of them, they're cashing their checks and they're laughing, David, at all of us for even bringing it up. They've got so much money, it doesn't matter. But Rom seems to have buyer's remorse. Or selling out remorse, whichever one you want to call it.
Well, that's certainly the conclusion that people came to this week at Augusta. You know, they clipped the parts that they thought fit that narrative and they used it. You know, I could clip just as many and I'm not, you know, supporting one side over the other. But I mean, there were moments there. Rom was smiling with Scheffler. Okay. You know, patted him on the back. They were talking, you know, amicably with each other. I mean, that to me didn't look like a guy who was completely miserable. But there were times when you could take a snapshot and go, oh, man, look at Rom. Wishes he was anywhere else. Look at him now. He's irrelevant. Okay. But I'm just saying, Mark, I mean, if you're all in on this, if it, you know, everybody plays in the 21st century, everybody plays the disrespect card, the us against the world card.
Yeah, hard to play the us against the world card when you've got that much money. But I understand the point that you're making is the competitiveness of them going to rise up here and say,
yeah,
what do we do now?
Right. I mean, Cam Smith's gone nearly 2 years without winning a major. Koepka's going to defend his PGA title. Okay, John Rahm. Got to play a little better than you did at Augusta there, big fella. Come on now. And DJ, is your career over? Are you done? You had a great run. You're going in the World Golf Hall of Fame. You are. But are you done? You're 40 now, and it's like, nah, just, you know, I'm guessing checks. I can't be taken seriously anymore. Oh, okay. I mean, which is it?
Well, I think this VIL tour has been good to me, and I think my game's pretty sharp right now.
What was the name of the tour again?
VIL.
Listen, this whole, you know, Rom wants them to go to 72 holes. Can't they keep their name LIV? Isn't it just like the Big Ten? So what? The numbers don't align. It doesn't matter.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Hey, before we get to good, bad, and ugly and all that stuff, I know we mentioned this in passing 3 hours ago during the starting five, but did you see the scene at Rupp Arena yesterday?
For the press conference for the new coach.
I mean, Rupp Arena's huge. You ever been?
No, I've never been.
I've only been one time. And it was for a Midnight Madness deal, Billy Gillespie's first Midnight Madness. And so I think it was 06, 07. Anyway, I mean, it's like 21,000 and change, Rupp Arena. It's huge. They sold it out for a presser. The introduction of Mark Pope as head coach. I thought the middle of last week they were ready to burn the town down. I thought they hated the hire. I thought they thought it was a joke.
They did.
Well,
they're stuck with him now, and they've got to support him. It's Big Blue Nation, David. That's all that matters.
Well, but they didn't come to boo him. They didn't come with pitchforks. I mean, they came as if it was a family reunion.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. Stay home, watch the Masters?
Oh, come on. Over what? A Kentucky basketball press conference? You're not understanding the importance of this.
A press conference. It's televised live on the radio. I think a local affiliate ran it live. You can download it off a website. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's a press conference. He got the job 5 days ago. He's Mark Pope. I know he's one of theirs, but come on now. That was for Mark Pope. Imagine if they hired Pitino.
It's time Hell. For someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
What was that?
Hell!
1865 we start. Lincoln dies today.
Well, he got shot in the head.
It took him a while to die, like 8 hours.
What'd you expect?
I just pointing it out. 1896, the first Olympics, the modern Olympic Games close in Athens. 1910, President Taft becomes the first president to throw out the first pitch.
Okay.
The Titanic sunk today in 1912.
That's a biggie.
Ray Kroc opens the first McDonald's Inc. in Des Plaines, Illinois today in 1955. Thought that would be big for you, David.
Well, I may celebrate by hitting the drive-thru.
And getting a number three?
Okay, it's a number two, by the way.
It's a number two now?
Yeah, quarter pounder with cheese is a number two.
It was a
two.
Number three forever, wasn't it?
I think so, but in the last couple of years, it's a number two.
It should be number one, but that whole Big Mac thing, they got to... Fuzzy wins in a playoff at the Masters in 79 today, beating Ed Snead and Tom Watson, winning for the first time in his first appearance at Augusta.
And no rookie's done it since.
Ben Crenshaw wins his first Masters today in 84. And it was 5 years ago today that the Notre Dame Cathedral catches fire in France.
They haven't opened that sucker back up yet, have they?
No. Da Vinci was born today, and Seth Rogen's 42. And that's all I got, David. What did I miss?
Wow, Seth Rogen on the same list as Da Vinci, huh?
Right. Not a lot of birthdays today.
Jackie Robinson made his major league debut today in 47. And then in 97, 50 years to the day, Bud Selig, one of the best things he did as commissioner, he announced that they were retiring Jackie Robinson's number league-wide. But there were like 21 guys who were wearing number 42, and he said, you guys are grandfathered in, but once you're done, you know, your team can't distribute the number. And so the last 42 in Major League Baseball was Mariano Rivera.
It's time for someone it's to time take...
For... You've I'll figure this thing out one of these days. You got to stop Trent, it before you start it.
Once again, it's why Trent has to come back tomorrow or he's done.
He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to London for the good, where an owner of a cat scared his cat with the vacuum. I mean, not on purpose, but the cat took off. Cat was named Oreo, or is named Oreo. Went up the chimney. It was trapped for 2 days. Finally, the fire department came and was able to free the cat from the chimney. For the bad, we go to Cambridge, Mass., where police were called to the Cambridge Rin and Latin School because Officer Frank Greenidge was using the toilet and he placed his firearm on a bathroom stall hook by the trigger guard. I thought those were for your jackets.
They are.
For him, it was for the gun, and it unintentionally discharged at the school.
Yeah.
No one was hurt, and the school day went on uninterrupted. Finally, the ugly. We go to British Columbia, where things could have been ugly for a driver as he was reaching for some chicken. Unfortunately, while reaching for the chicken, he veered off the road and took on a cement embankment. He was able to leave the scene without major injuries. The kicker is not only did he get a ticket for reckless driving, but his insurance was expired, so he got a $600 ticket for that as well.
Oh, man.
All for the chicken.
And it's in British Columbia, so I'm guessing it wasn't even the Colonel. Was it Chick-fil-A? Was it his Zaxby's? I mean...
No word on where the chicken was from, David, and whether it was a leg, a thigh, or a breast.
Ooh, yeah, I hope it was one of the bigger pieces.
I'm a thigh guy, personally. Best piece of the chicken, in my opinion. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 15th, 2024.
Well, no association tonight. The two play-ins tomorrow, two play-ins on Wednesday. Then two more play-ins on Thursday and two more on Friday. But here's the deal. It's a big night in the NHL. Big. Although Tampa Bay is playing a completely meaningless game, they're hosting Buffalo. No, I mean completely meaningless. They're locked in as the first wild card. Buffalo's missed the playoffs. About the only thing left at this point is, what's his face there? Kucherov trying to win a scoring title. And also, isn't he at 98 assists, something like that? I mean, you know. So Ottawa's at the Rangers. If the Rangers win, they clinch the division and the President's Trophy. And the number one seed in the East. Anything less than a win, Boston and Carolina, but especially Carolina, can still win the President's Trophy. And in Carolina's case, they can win the division. Mark, your Wings haven't played two games in 2 days this big in what, 8 years?
Every bit of it.
So the Wings have a home and home with Montreal. If they win them both, strong likelihood they'll make the playoffs for this reason. They're tied with Washington for the final playoff spot. Caps own the tiebreak. But the Caps schedule is hard. The Caps are hosting Boston tonight.
And Boston has to play. The events of the weekend, they have not locked up first overall in the division. So Boston is going to play hard trying to get this win tonight.
Boston needs to win one of their final two games to win the division. If they only get 1 point in their final two games, the Panthers, with a win tomorrow, can win the division because they own the tiebreak. But the Caps, Mark, host Boston tonight, one of the five best teams in the league. And then I believe either Tuesday or Wednesday, they got to go to Philly. It's Philly's last game of the year, and it's an absolute must for them if they're going to have any chance to make the playoffs. So, Mark, right now, I would bet if your Wings go WW against the Canadiens in this home-and-home, they'll make the playoffs.
Man, I hope so.
Do you think the Caps are going to beat Boston at home and then go to Philly and beat the Flyers?
Well, they're going to beat the Flyers.
Also, the game's tomorrow, too. They got to play these
back-to-back for both the Wings and for the Caps.
Right. Now, it's not much travel for both Detroit, you know, to Montreal and also Washington to go to Philly. But I'd much rather have Detroit's schedule than Washington's, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Islanders at the Devils tonight. Islanders with a win clinch third place in the division and guarantee themselves a playoff spot. Anything less than a win, and they probably have to worry about being a wild card. The Penguins, meanwhile, have to win their last two. They're a point back of both Detroit and Washington. They're home for Nashville. Nashville's been playing really well. It's Nashville's final game of the year. I'm trying to look and see whether or not Nashville, I don't believe, has anything to play for tonight. They're locked in as the first wild card out west. So that could be a break for Sid and the Penguins.
They've played. This is the last game for Nashville. Vegas is three back with two games left, so Vegas could catch them.
Well, it's true. I guess Nashville could slide down to the second wild card, right?
It's possible.
So, yeah, you could make the argument even Nashville needs the points tonight. So there's two games out west. You know, Edmonton, they're pretty much locked in second place. They lost a showdown with the Canucks over the weekend. Vancouver's going to win that division. And the LA Kings are trying to fight off Vegas. You know, one of them will finish in third place. One of them will be the second wild card. They're going to have a tough playoff draw no matter what. So there you have it. That's the NHL tonight. Big night. Except for the Lightning. Completely meaningless.
You're exactly right. The Lightning playing. That's a team nobody wants to play in the first round of the playoffs.
No.
This is actually a good thing for the rest of the league. Maybe a bad thing for the Lightning. They've locked in this spot. I don't know if they lose any intensity, if you know what I mean, over the course of this week, this is the first time they've basically can breathe since what? Mid-March, David?
I was going to say January, actually, but yeah, they've been going hard for a while here. It's the only completely meaningless game on the NHL slate. Every Major League Baseball team is in action today. Red Sox, of course, because they're running the Boston Marathon today. And today is the 11th anniversary of the bomb at the Boston Marathon. But the Red Sox at 11 o'clock today are hosting Cleveland. The Patriots Day game for the Red Sox. Marlins are home for the Giants. Rays are home for the Angels. But everyone is in action today. And all is right with the world, Mark, because you know what team has the best record in Major League Baseball?
The New York Yankees?
There you go, Mark. All is right with the world again. That's according to most baseball fans.
Yeah. Or everything that possibly could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah, one or the other.
It's kind of like our poll question. You're either all in for the NBA playoffs or you're not watching any of it. That's how people feel about the Yankees. They're either all in on that statement or they're anti-everything you just said.
Right. But, you know, it's Major League Baseball's best chance to be talked about on a national radio or TV show. The Yankees have the best record in the sport. Can they get 5 minutes from the talking heads?
And largely the only thing we've talked about is how bad Angel Hernandez is. Did you see the strikeout? I believe it was in the Texas game. Three pitches, all outside, all called strikes consecutively.
The final one was almost 7 inches outside. They say it's the worst blown strike call since they've been keeping, you know, whatever that technology is.
Umpire auditor.
Yeah.
Worst one.
Right. The announcer said, well, boys, better be up there swinging. Angel's got a dinner date.
Miller and Moulton, have a great rest of your Monday.